is enthusiastic working with us and is bringing his animals. That was awesome. So this morning, it's Palm Sunday. Yeah. Hosanna, Hosanna. So I was asked earlier, and by more than one person, I was asked, what up with that? Am I on, by the way? Yeah. What up? What's the deal with these? What's Palm Sunday? What's it all about? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke. We're going to touch, if you've got the bulletins, I've got those cross references in there that tell the same story. And the realization of it and the purpose of it is so important. And the reason is because of all the, as I was driving here this morning, I was reminded that, I don't know if you, many of you know who Andrei Sakharov was. He's a guy from the 70s. He was a dissident of the Russian, the former Soviet Union. And he was asked what he thought was the most powerful weapon. And much to the surprise of the people who asked him and who were wanting to know what he thought about that, he simply replied one thing. They were expecting military. They were expecting a nuclear bomb. They were expecting something along those lines, the most powerful thing in the world. And he simply replied this. He says, I believe without a doubt that the most powerful thing in the world, the most powerful weapon that we can yield, is truth. Truth is the most powerful weapon, he said, because of how the Soviet Union, if you read their history and how they were inculcated with all these lies and how these lies were necessary in order for evil men to take over that country. And so truth is the weapon. It's the most mighty weapon that we can wield and that we can wield mightily and to fend off our enemies. And so with that being said, the title for this morning's message is called Missed Welcoming. It's the story of Jesus that was foretold. And it's the realization that we're reading here in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. Jesus is at the end of his ministry. He's towards the last week of his life here on this earth as we see him in the form of a man. Jesus is now going to be, he's going to enter into that last week that is known as the Passion Week. And it's that last bit of life that he had while he was here before this horrible thing that we will be celebrating on Friday and recognizing and remembering. And it's really an amazing thing when you think about all that he had done. We've read about all the amazing things that he had done, the healing, the power that he exuded, even when people asked directly to heal, how people responded, and just touching his hem just cleared up this thing, this power that he had, and this love and compassion. And he's going to be ushered into the most hateful, wicked, and evil scene ever unleashed in the history of mankind, to the most undeserving person who has ever existed. And we're going to see that ugliness, and we'll talk about that a little bit next week. But we're going somewhere with it. The triumphal entry. And so here in verse 28, it reads as following, and starting in verse 28. And after he had said these things, he had been teaching about, in this particular part of Luke, he had been teaching about the parable of the 10 minas. So after speaking this, he says in verse 28, and after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, ascending to Jerusalem. And remember, if you kind of cheat and read a little bit in Matthew 17 and some of the other in Luke prior to this, he had been telling his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem with a purpose. And it wasn't to be crowned king in that way. It wasn't something that was going to be something to look forward to in the sense that it was going to be something to enjoy. He was telling them over and over again, he was going there for the purpose of being murdered, being killed. And notice that he's the one who's leading them. He's ascending to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 29, and it came about that when he approached Bethpage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for going before us, for doing what only you can do, for doing what was necessary and what was needed, what we needed to be set free. We're all guilty before you, Lord. At the foot of the cross, everyone is equal. There's no one better than anyone else. We're all guilty before a holy God. And you were willing to do what no other could do. And we praise you for that this morning. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would just cause it to dwell in our hearts and in our minds, and that it would not soon leave us, but that it would leave us broken before you as a reminder of who you are and how far you are willing to go for those who you love, that we might be redeemed and reconciled to our Creator and our Sustainer and our Keeper. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would open up eyes, ears, minds, and hearts to these great truths. For your name's sake and for your glory, we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 30, now we enter into the words of Jesus, and here's what he commanded. He says, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, in which as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat, and untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Thus shall you speak, the Lord has need of it. I want to take a moment and talk about a couple of things. If you would, please turn with me very quickly. This is headed toward the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which is very popular, and a lot of you should know this. Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah is prophesying. This is from about 520 BC. So 520 years before we see Jesus commanding his disciples to go and do this, perform this. Here's Zechariah in the middle of his one of his prophecies in Zechariah 9, verse 9. He says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it wasn't even a donkey like we just saw Pedro. It was a little baby donkey. When kings would come and they were at time of peace, they would come on a donkey rather than a horse to not show power, to not show fear, but to show humility. And it wasn't even a donkey. It was a baby donkey. Now, if you know anything about those, how often does a baby donkey or any animal, of a beast of burden like that, like somebody jumping on their back for the first time? But even here, creation responds in an amazing way. It just allows it because he's humble, he's meek, and it's obeying. And even creation longs to be set free from this burden that has been placed on it because of our forefathers' disobedience, Adam. So that's the first place I want to go. So this is part of why we're celebrating and why we shake the leaves, because behold, your king is coming. I want you to turn with me again to Psalm 118, and we'll read some of this. Psalm 118. And we're going to be in verses 22 through 29. Y'all there yet? It's on page 590. I was close. Psalm 118, verses 22 through 29, and this is how it reads. The stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone, or the chief corner. This is the Lord's doing, or quite literally, from the Lord. They rejected this stone. What's the stone that we're talking about? What is the psalmist? Yeah, he's talking about Jesus. He said, this has become the very corner. And this was God's doing. It is a marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna. Because it says in verse 25, O Lord, do save. Hosanna means, it's the Hebrew word, which means save now. Originally, it was just a cry for help. Somebody got stuck in a hole. Somebody fell down and couldn't get up. Help now! I need help! And it's that idea. And here they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name. Hosanna! Save now! Save us now! We need salvation! So they're waving their palm leaves and they're doing their thing. And in Psalm here, he foresees this and he's given this. O Lord, do save now, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice and the cords to the horns of the altar. Verse 28, Thou art my God. I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God. I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Hallelujah. Those are the two most popular ones that we look to when we're looking at this passage, when we're celebrating Palm Sunday. I want you to turn with me one more place. We're going back to near the beginning. We're going back to Genesis. We're going back to Genesis chapter 49. This is at the end of Jacob's life. And I want to read a passage that seems to hint at what we're looking at here in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark. And it's Genesis chapter 49, starting in verse 8. I'll read it really quickly. And it reads as following. Judah, your brothers, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Praise God. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Listen to this, verse 11. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. Did you ever see that before? Does that blow you away? Brain smoke? Psh! Clear back. This is at least, I believe it was about, Psalm was written about 1000 BC before we see what was happening. In Genesis, it's probably closer to 1,500 to 2,000 years before that time. Imagine how that works. I want just let that ferment in your mind and in your heart. Take that with you. It's all free. And I want to read to you from what God says here in verse 44. Isaiah 44. I'm just going to read this really quick. And this is, I want to go with this before we finish reading in Luke. It says this. This is what Isaiah says. In Isaiah 44, verse 24, starting there. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself, and spreading out all out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back, and turn their knowledge into foolishness. And I also want to read in Isaiah 44, verse 6. It says this, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. There is no God beside me." Now, in those titles, you have the word Yahweh, you have the word Elohim, you have the word Redeemer and the King of Israel, and they're all speaking of the same person. 520-some years or 650 years before it happened. Predicting, talking about these things. He's the same person, verse 7, "And who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place." It's God's challenge to man. If you can do this, go on ahead. Show me. Do this. And he says, he's saying this, and he's just going, can you do this? Is it possible? His point is, of course, that he is the only one that can. Going back to Luke, verse 32, and we'll read this quickly. "And those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them," surprise, surprise, Jesus, remember, he told them, go into this other village, and when you go there, this is what you're going to find, a little donkey, a little baby donkey, both of them. "Get them. Bring them to me. And if anyone asks you, hey, what you doing?" I'm paraphrasing, of course. Yeah. "What are you doing?" Notice what he says. "Tell them that the Lord has need of this." This is the word kurios, which we assign to one who has utter ownership and master of his dominion. The total master of it. And it's also that insignia that we give to Jesus, the Lord. What we just read in Isaiah, where it says Lord, it's the same person. And that's what he told them. The Lord has need of it. So they go and they found it just as he had told them. Verse 33, "And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, as predicted." Keep that in mind, what I just read in Isaiah. Go ahead and tell us if you know. Okay? "And they said, the Lord has need of it." They're just doing what they were told. "And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the colt and put Jesus on it." You see how they responded, the people, the owner of the coats, the little donkey, the baby colt? Okay. How strange is that? That's very strange. Somebody to take your property just that you don't even know. And all they say is, the Lord has need of it. Oh, okay. How many people would do that today? They respond that way. I don't think so. It'd be more like, you're going, what? Yeah, no. It would be a total different response. Unless, of course, God was doing something in those people. And you see, it just shows God's masterful work and his mastery and his sovereignty over everything. And they laid the garments on the colt and put Jesus on it. "And as he was going, they were spreading their garments in the road. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" In Matthew, it tells us, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They're going crazy. They're waving their palm branches. They're doing their thing. Hosanna. They're waving all there they are. They're waving their palm branches. He's coming. Who's coming? The King of Israel, the Lord. He's the one. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Where have we heard that before? Do you remember? Was that a shocker? You weren't expecting that, were you? "Peace on earth and glory in the highest." Yeah. at his birth. You've heard the angels say this. Peace on earth on whom his favor rests, on men on whom his favor rests. He says this, and some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. You can't contain this. You can't do anything about it. It has to happen. It's been foreordained, and it's going to happen whether you like it or not, whether you know who I am or not. It's going to happen. And even the stones will cry out. How amazing is that? I mean, picture that. How bizarre would it be to hear stones cry out? I think it was either Plato or one of the other early philosophers, the Greek philosophers, when asked about what is nothing. He says, nothing is the things that rocks dream about. That's what nothing is. He says, even these will cry out. God can raise up stones to worship him. And he says in 41, you can't stop this. In 41 he says, and when he approached, he saw the city and he wept over it. He's broken. His heart is broken. He's seeing his people. He's seeing the city that he loves. He's seeing everything that was foreordained. And here in his humanity and in his compassion, he weeps over the city. It's like being on one of these high mountains here and looking down on the city of Provo and weeping over it. Because he says, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, he knows what's coming. He knows what they've got to suffer. He knows who's coming. And when you read the account of what happened in 70 AD at that time, it's heart-wrenching. I'm not even going to discuss some of the things because it's really disgusting what they were pressed to. But he's weeping. He's brokenhearted over the people. He's brokenhearted over the city. And he's holding them accountable. Because it was predicted that this was going to come. It was to the day. I'll leave you with a number if you can remember. You can go look on it and find some things. It was done by Sir Robert Anderson. 173,880 days. You can remember that, right? 173,880 days is what this man who was so interested in this, he worked for Scotland Yard. He was one of their best. And he wanted to know about this, more of it in detail. And he did all these calculations and all these things. And he found that from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to Jesus and his crucifixion, 173,880 days. They should have known. How did they know when he was born to go look for him? They knew. And yet they didn't listen. Yet they didn't pay attention. Yet they were blinded to it. They wouldn't hear. Their hearts were hardened. And he says in 43, for the day shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave you or in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. They're held accountable. They should have known. God has laid it out. He's told them that this was what's going to happen. But I don't want to focus on that. But it leads into Friday. Because Friday is coming. The most demonstrably wicked and evil day ever in the history of mankind. When the perfect human being was given up, was mistreated, was falsely accused, was so treated so unjustly And there's all different kinds of words that you could come up with, the whole scene. But that's what he was leading into. He's not crying about himself. He's crying about these people. That's his compassion. That's what Hosanna is. And if they'd only known and meant it, if they would only known that this is the one that can save, he's the one that can set you free, he's the one who can bring you hope. And they didn't know it. They were just going along with the mob. They were just going along with the mob. They missed it. They missed this welcoming. They were using the right words. They were using the right scriptures. They were using the right places. But they missed it. They didn't see him for who he was. Yes, he was the king, but they had their mind set. What can this king do for me? Yeah. He's going to take over the Romans now, and he's going to build us up, and we're going to rule the entire world. What part do I get in that? They missed it. Because although they had the scriptures, remember what Isaiah said and what Psalm said, the writer of Psalms. This was God's doing. He's the one that caused this to happen. And here he is crying and weeping over their city. But we can rejoice that Jesus is the King, the true King, that he is Yahweh, that he is the Lord Kyrios, that he is the one that we can go to, that we can come before and fall at his feet as we were talking about last week, and that we can be set free, and that we can welcome him in the right fashion, but only if you see him for who he is. And that's what Palm Sunday is about. It's about recognizing that he has come, praise God, and that he is the ransom, because we need to be set free. And he's the only one that can pay it. And there's no one else. And you can't do it by any other means. And so Friday, when Friday comes, invite your friends, invite your lost friends, invite them so that they can hear about a message, short as it's going to be, about salvation by works. That's the name of the message for Friday. It's already been given to me. Salvation by works. These people missed it. They missed who he was. They missed what he was about. They missed what they could have rejoiced in. And even though they were on the surface rejoicing, they missed it. Don't miss him. Rejoice in him. Tell people, Friday's coming. But more importantly, when it's that day, but Sunday's coming. It's going to be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Praise God. Because we can welcome the King as He is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that you have come. Thank you, Lord, as was prayed earlier, that there is no sign of your DNA or any of that stuff here left on earth, because you are rightfully where you belong. You are enthroned in the heavens. And all things have been subjected to you. And I thank you. I thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you're the one who can set a wretch like me free. That you're the one who can take a worm and make each one of us a butterfly. Beautiful to do what it is that only you can do. That we can put off a fragrance that is so sweet and amazing and beautiful. But it's all because of you. It's your perfume that you give off through us. It's you who have washed our feet to go and to tell of this great news. That we can cry out, Hosanna, save now, Lord. Even though we are saved, we can still cry out, save us now, Lord. And you're the one who is there waiting for your time. And we long for that time when we can see you coming in the clouds, in all your glory, in all your majesty, in all your power, in all your might, in all your glory, to take us home to be with you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that we can rejoice in you and that we can celebrate in this week of celebration. And even though we will remember that terrible, horrible, and wicked day, that we can rejoice because you are the overcomer of the world. Lord, we thank you that we can be redeemed and that we can be called the redeemed. We bless you, Lord, for you are good. And we thank you. And along with our brothers who have gone ahead, Lord, we wave our leaves and we do just thank you. Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord, our King. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your truth that we can stand on. And no matter what tries to knock us off, it's your truth that has us anchored by our feet. And we will not be knocked off so long as we hold to it, because it has a hold on us. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. And we pray that you would just fill us to overflowing in Jesus' name for your kingdom. Amen. Amen.